Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 29.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend, Brent Hagel. Brent is an 18-year veteran behind the mic, as well as founder of Trailer Voice Artist Agency, where he manages the elite special forces of the voiceover brand as their guide in creating the magic of storytelling for some truly amazing brands. In this episode, we talk about getting noticed by an agent, the founding of Trailer Voice Artist Agency, how the voiceover agency space has changed, agencies versus P2Ps, or pay-to-play sites, and the stigma of having a full-time job versus being a full-time creative. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Thanks for the intro. Hagel, like a bagel.
Hagel. Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Like Hagel's Bagels and Donuts and Illegal Pirated Software. That was the idea for that. Like Men in Black, you go and you press a button and all the bagels flip over to like some sort of, never mind.
Right, so when was Bagel Shop your idea before voiceover, or were you wanting to do a bagel shop, Hagel's Bagels?
Hagel's Bagels and Donuts. Well, I was a chef, executive chef for 5 years. And I've worked in food service my entire life. So if you want to be a voiceover actor or actor in Los Angeles, you either cook or wait tables. And I got tired of waiting tables, so I got behind in the kitchen because it's so much more creative. And I find VO and cooking are very similar, where you take emotions and or ingredients and combine them to make a finished product and then present it to somebody.
Gotcha. Okay. So you and I got very similar starts then. So do you take your coffee in the morning just as creatively, or?
It's just black coffee. No, I don't.
So what made you initially want to take that jump? What was it, 18 years ago, into voiceover from working in kitchens?
I was this sound guy in high school. I was asked if I would like to, my friend was the president of the student government, and they needed someone to run the mixing board for events in the high school, rallies, homecoming, these sort of football games, etc. And I said, I don't know anything about that. And he said, I will train you. And I said, sure, I got nothing else to do. What am I going to do, play Halo? You know, I said, yeah. And then I learned how to cut music and run a mixing board and became a live announcer. And everyone told me I was good at it. And it felt good to be good at something. Because when you're a kid in high school, you really don't know what you want to do unless you're like the star quarterback. You're just trying to figure things out. And I found something I was good at, so I kept doing it.
Gotcha. So what made you want to turn that dream into an agency?
I know a lot of really great voiceover artists, and I want them all to do well. And if I can spend my time on Earth doing that, I'm going to do it. I grew up here in the Southern California workshop system. So there's a lot of workshops that are classes that are run. So if you want to get into VO, you start taking some workshops. And I had been taking those for about 10 years, and I just met a lot of great people. And some of them were doing really, really well, and some of them like couldn't catch a break. And so I just kind of built my crew and people I vibed with over time. And eventually I wanted to kind of help push those people to production people and people, other voice buyers that I met along the way. It's very just kind of a journey driven thing. There's really no key moment or anything.
Okay. So what made you decide on the name Trailer Voice for the agency?
Trailer Voice Artist?
Yeah.
I was actually looking to buy a website. And so I was kind of running through all the different iterations of what this website could be called. Mm-hmm. Some of them were already purchased, other versions of it. And I was like, okay, well, I want to work specifically in promotional and theatrical voiceover, with the goal of mostly being a theatrical company. So I'll call it Trailer Voice Artists, which is pretty straight down the middle and self-explanatory. So if anyone asks, what is it? You're like, well, you know, they do voices for trailers.
Right. So whenever you're like, what do you look for when it comes to new submissions? Like what does an artist do to kind of pop out and stand out among the rest for yours, other than just being something that's not already on your roster?
It's a good question. That's a question I get a lot. It really has to do with the person themselves, mm-hmm. their drive, and how much they work on their own. If there's two type of voiceover artist, there's variety, but I'm saying the voice artists that I like are people that are self-driven, that are going to make it with or without my help. That their website is on point, their demos are on point, they know how to audio engineer, they know how to self-market, they are already running their own business. They get it. They understand that they are their own little enterprise. Don't mean little. They are their own sole enterprise. And I meant, you know, sole proprietorship, self driving company. And that to have someone like me would just be an extra tool on the side. Getting an agent and expecting your agent to all of a sudden transform your career into some miraculous thing, well, although it may happen, is somewhat of a come save me messiah sort of philosophy. So I look for people who are already working, and they're working through their sheer determination through they made it through the pay to plays, they took all the workshops, they just really been through the gutter of the VO world and took the $50 jobs in the beginning or whatever it may have been. They did the phone systems, they did all that work, because all that work adds to your delivery style and your ability to work with clients and to know yourself. So I look for people that, yeah, they have a great voice, but they're also a great storyteller and they know how to run a business. So it might have been a long-winded answer, but that's what I look for.
That's perfect. So what are some of the kind of taboos of what you don't want in your inbox whenever somebody's trying to submit?
It is very rare that I would take on a random email that I would just, you know, sign somebody off a random email, unless I was specifically looking for something for a casting for a client. Mm-hmm. But I will usually find them. They won't necessarily find me. So just continue to go do your work and do your thing and market on social media and do what you do. And then I usually like to be the person that goes out and finds them. I don't really like to be solicited to.
Okay.
But I mean, cold emailing an agent without a referral, It's a shot in the dark and it could work, but most likely we like referrals. Like one of my artists says, hey, I know this great person, take a listen to him. But I think the referral is 95% stronger than a cold email. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I was just saying for me personally, unless they're like super stellar and have like Nike campaigns and like all kinds of great past work, that it's like, wow, this person is going to really, you know, take everything to the top, you know, the next level, mm-hmm. Then a referral is hugely recommended.
Okay. Fantastic. So, other than COVID, just general analytics, how do you feel that the agency space has changed since you first started?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Well, when I first started, you'd have to go into a talent agency and read there with a booth director. Okay. And you'd have to schedule your time. You'd go in and you'd read and you'd submit. And a lot of the things, especially that were like NDA and confidential, you couldn't audition from home, even if you had a home studio, they'd still want you to go in. Mm-hmm. But now with, and then sites like voices.com popped up, voices123, all these pay to play sites popped up. And from a voice buyer perspective, it's so much easier to just log into a website, upload your script, and get 50 auditions back within an hour. Right. Like logistically, it is. And I'm not saying the quality may be whatever, but I'm just saying if they need this project done, you know, by the end of day, they can do that with that resource. Whereas if you had to contact a talent agent and they had to bring people in and read them, that would take 8 hours because they have to schedule everybody and bring them in and read them. So I think everything's just happening faster. And now for under $2,000, you can be broadcast ready from anywhere in the world. So I think that it's becoming harder and harder to be a talent agent, and talent agents will work on the higher paying jobs, mostly maybe animation and video games, that's still union protected, whereas the commercial work is mostly going non-union, promos going non-union. The union work is very coveted and still tightly controlled, while people every day, over 500,000 voice actors in the United States, all want jobs. So, and they are on these sites, and there's a lot of marketing agencies in the country who just need voices, and they need them now. So I think being a talent agent, especially in New York and LA, is becoming more and more difficult, and they're leaning on past relationships, and it may be harder to develop new relationships while still being able to stay on budget for a casting director, a talent agent's 10%, you know, all these people in the way of production and voice. So how do you continue to create a budget and justify to a paying client, Honda, Ford, whatever it may be, that all these people are necessary in the process? Because the hope is a higher quality product, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very difficult to be in talent agent. I enjoy the hell out of it, but it's definitely not an easy job. Like if you get an audition from your agent, they work their ass off to get that audition for you. It's not an easy process. So if you're getting auditions from your agent, send them a thank you, because it's tough.
So what are your favorite parts about being a talent agent? Like what are just some of the greatest parts of your week?
Oh, getting someone booked on something. That's what it's all about. Emailing somebody and say, hey, you booked this. You're going to get paid. Everybody freaks out. You do 1,000 auditions, 500 auditions, whatever it may be. You're just cranking these suckers out every day. And then with really no expectations, right? You should have no expectations. You should just do your job, submit them, try your best, be you. This is my read. This is what I do. And then you'll most likely forget about it, because most of the time when I call or email somebody that you booked it, they're like, oh, what was it? I don't even want to like. And then I remember, that was a good one. Okay, great. Thanks. And then we have a little celebratory, depending on it. If it's like a movie trailer campaign, that's different than, you know, a radio, internet radio spot or something. You know, they all have different price points and scales and things. So getting someone on a high paying gig is That's what it's all about. It's outstanding. And the answer is really the people. It's the interaction with the artists. Hey, I like the read, but can you give me another take on it, another pass on it with, you know, I also direct, remote, I guess, booth director. If I'm getting things in and I'm listening to them down and it's not what really what they're looking for, mm-hmm. I'll usually let the talent know that to give me another pass, just because I want everyone to have a chance to win.
So what do you do outside of the director and agency chair? What do you do to get a little fresh air? What do you enjoy doing outside of work?
Outside of work, I mostly spend time with my family. I have two young kids and married. And so I spend time just, and I have a property here in my home, so I do yard work. I'm very exciting, but I'm teaching my kid how to swim. My son Lucas is 5, and we had swim lessons yesterday at the community pool. Mow the lawn, and I like having. I have a fire pit in my backyard. We usually do fires and drink wine out there and listen to music to relax. I still cook. So I'm kind of the resident cook. So I leave the studio and I go home and I start cooking or barbecuing or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I just usually my life is really centered around people and just interacting with people.
What are your favorite things to cook for a large group of people?
Well, I'm used to cooking I did catering and then I ran a kitchen. So I'm used to cooking on large scale.
Right.
Ideally anything you can throw in the oven because it's all pretty much, right. It's just throw it in the oven and it's done. But we do a fair amount of barbecuing. I would say, you know, kebabs are always a classic because people like anything that's individual and small. Cause if they eat more than one of them, they don't feel guilty. So if you can make like mini quiche or kebabs that come in pieces or anything that can you can break down into smaller pieces, people tend to enjoy that. I'm very good with pastries, desserts, things like that. I'm a great baker. But as far as I like to do the Thanksgiving dinners, I like to do the Christmas dinners, things like that. But I'm any recipe you give me, I can put it together and make it just like reading a voiceover script. You know, you read the specs, you read the words, and you kind of build the thing.
Right. So. Fantastic. I'll have to remember that kebab thing. I've never made kebabs for a party before. That sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. But so what do you think some of your biggest resources have been that kind of have helped you along the way through any humps in the road?
Biggest resources? People. Other voice actors. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, watched a lot of YouTube shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly always doing research. I'm watching commercials, I'm watching promos, I'm watching trailers. I'm seeing what booked and why, what did the voice sound like? What was the creative, design on it? What did they choose to do? I'm just kind of always being aware of what's going on television. I think the workshop system has been phenomenal. Whether you're taking an animation class or you're taking, an audiobook class, anything, I think it's great to really stretch yourself and because you don't really know what you can do until you try it. And I think not being afraid and just doing something for the first time, whether it's in voiceover or anything, just trying something. I've never tried surfing and I was at the beach and I was like, I should try that someday. And, you know, I hope someday comes sooner than later, but I think it applies with voiceover as well. Try doing a e-learning voice. What does your e-learning voice sound like? What does your commercial voice sound like? What does your promo voice sound like? Are they the same voice? Are they different voices? So I'm very much into voice building. For me personally, in my work, I will look at a project and then I will create a voice for it. And maybe this voice I'm using now, it may be something a little higher pitched or faster or slower. I really try to match the creative with that. Resources, I would just say my friends, my past instructors, the people I work with that are on the hiring end, the people that are like a promo producer or a music sound designer or a copywriter, any of these people who are part of the creative process, I think are great people to work with and learn from because they all think differently and our jobs, we all kind of are pieces to one piece of media, but we all think differently and we all have a different creative perspective. So those people are all great resources. I think the general theme here is that I really just like people, and I like the way people think, and I like people's opinions, and I will be the first to admit if I am wrong or if I don't agree with something, or I'm open to a healthy debate. I just have an open perspective to make the best material for a client possible.
That's the best needed perspective you can have in this industry.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you just want to make something cool and creative that'll make right. Someone feel something.
Right. So if you were to write yourself a letter back to 2003, you transitioning into the studio space from where you're sitting today, what would that letter say?
I think it would just be about time, because I wanted to be where I was 10 years ago. But I just wasn't ready, and I just didn't have the resources to do it. So it's really just about being patient. Work hard and stay focused for an extended period of time, and eventually things will start to manifest into your reality. It's very much a small individual actions and small individual thoughts over an extended period of time will yield the results that you are looking for, but still stay present in your present reality. Don't try to live in the future. But just, you know, have a goal. Like, I would have a picture of a mansion, like while I'm washing dishes, and I just like tape it right there next to the dishwasher. I don't live in a mansion, but I'm just saying I had goals and aspirations that by washing these dishes to get money to pay for a voiceover workshop, I am doing an action and to go to, you know, to go learn something, to get the education, to apply in a future career, so forth and so on. So the letter would just be, it's going to be fine. Give yourself some time and just stay focused. And meet as many cool people along the way as possible, because that's really what it's about. There are so many amazing voice actors that if you get to see them work, you're like, that's why they do that. That was fantastic. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Oh, if I could just sit in studio directing sessions all day, that would be a treat.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. I get to sit in on some of them with people that hired our talent, and I just get to watch them and watch them do their thing, and I just get to sit back and enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Best job ever.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, thanks for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah, what's going on with you in your VO journey?
Generally I save that for after, because it's more about you. So between us, a lot and a little, if that makes sense. I've kind of gotten over a personal hump, if that makes sense. I had goals in mind last year. And not all of them got met, whether it was due to time, whether it was due to finances. For a while, I had to go back to a 9-to-5 job for medical benefits and such. Turn of the year, I started doing my marketing again. I started booking some really solid things. I got nominated for OVC this year. I got a job through Allstate. Doing their e-learning modules for when somebody buys homeowners insurance.
Okay.
I've gotten a couple of commercial projects. I just got my first national commercial project for a state company. It's just been hitting the grind every day. It's been great.
Well, it's great, but it's also a lot of work. It is a full-time thing, and it takes resources to make that transition. And like you mentioned earlier about that leap from going full-time into working a job, and I had to wait until my salaries matched before I could convince my wife that I want to become an actor full-time. She's like, "Whoa, wait a minute now."
Goal before quitting my 9-to-5 was, because a majority of my contracts are net 30. So I said, I need to make sure that I have contracts that are still getting paid 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, anything I book now will pay next month's bills, and anything I book, like if I market today, I might get it 3 months from now.
Yes.
So I might get it a year from now. I don't know, whenever the client needs me. That's why we send 400 to 1,000 emails a day. I mean, a week. So I had to make sure that I was at that point where, hey, do I have enough money to sustain my living, take care of my kids, and make sure that I'm not going to go without for the next 3 months, and that I can take over my health insurance.
Do you think you would find shame in having to not be a full-time voice actor, but have a part-time job?
No, I don't think there would be shame in that.
I feel like there's this stigma in the VO community that there is, like, people, like radio people hide that they're radio people, or people hide that they have another source of income. I think there's some sort of thing where it's seemed glamorous to be a full-time VO actor.
I think the end product is glamorous. I think the fact that we are able to get up every day and create things, the fact that we literally work magic, we are able to take somebody's story and turn it into a format that is able to make people feel things, or say an e-learning job, we're able to be those instructors and at the same time be students all over again and learn something new every day. With animation projects, we're able to create a whole nother persona and live as that persona for a little bit of time. I think the magic in that creative process is kind of what has that glamour. What we do on a day-to-day basis, it's marketing, it's data entry. I love doing it. I treat finding new leads like a scavenger hunt. And I mean, I love booking a gut job, but every audition that comes into my inbox, I get excited for, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to do the audition. If I book it, awesome. If it pays bills, awesome. But I'm here to be able to be a part of that in some way. If I just wasn't what they were looking for, then no hard feelings. But as far as having a regular 9 to 5 job, that's a necessity. You got that job for a reason. So whether that reason was because that was originally what you loved doing, whether that reason was because, like me, where I needed the medical benefits and I needed to make sure that I had health insurance and made sure I had stable income while I was building up my client list and et cetera, et cetera. There's no shame in that. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out if voiceover is for you, because it does take a lot of work. And so sometimes you need to be like, hey, I want to try this out, but I can't risk putting everything on the line. I mean, you can't risk your mortgage day one on getting into voiceover and saying, oh, I'll pull out another loan and build a voiceover studio, because it's not going to happen that fast. And some people don't stay in it. They realize the amount of work that goes into it, and they just were like, oh, I just wanted to do the main character of something and go be famous. Or I wanted to just out the gate book a $10,000 national spot. And that's not how it works. This is a glamorous job to me, but I love waking up every day and doing what I do. I love hustling. I love, even if somebody says, hey, we don't have a need for you right now, but we keep you top of mind. I just made another connection with another human being, and they heard what I was saying. And I got to go onto their website and look at all the immaculate and cool stuff that they're doing. Even if I'm not a part of it, I would have never experienced that. How these marketing agency are changing brands. Like Marco's Pizza. Marco's Pizza was this small hole in the wall family shop, and a marketing agency took them on and got them competing with Domino's and Pizza Hut and everybody else. Like, these agencies are creating things. All these animation studios, these were a part of my childhood, and now I get to be a part of some of the companies that may potentially influence someone else's childhood in that same way, in that same kind of like magic of not knowing what's going on behind the smoke and mirrors, but just experiencing it as a viewer. So, I mean, there is glamour to being voiceover, but I don't think that being voiceover full time versus having a regular job, I don't think there needs to be any kind of stigma between that. The only issue that I had when I was doing two full-time jobs was that it was two full-time jobs. Because when if you're working 8 hours, if you want to do anything in voiceover, you're going to need to put at least minimum another 4 to 5 in the booth, at the very minimum. And that's it's very taxing. But
Yeah, it's 12 to 14 hour days. So I would come home from the kitchen and then hop and then start knocking out the auditions or shooting social media content or something like that. And so I encourage them also to, if they don't know you exist, like you said, you're doing the marketing. If they don't know you exist and what you sound like, they can't hire you. And the more chances and content you create for people to know you exist, the higher your odds are of getting known or cast or referred.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that.
My perspective for what it is.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate that. Very much so.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Brent's journey from kitchens to the TVA, and how his passions led him down a path of challenge, but one with reward and people that he would never give up. Brent, if you're listening, I expect a voiceover versus voiceover kitchen showdown one day soon. If you want to know more about Brent and his amazing agency, you can visit him at trailervoiceartist.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso. Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.